Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, devotees, first of all, let us ask our devotees on Zoom, how is the sound? You have sound, don't you? Do you? Wait. Sorry. How is the sound on Zoom? It's okay, yeah? It's not too loud. Не слишком громче.
Нет, хорошо.
Okay. All right. Very good. We can continue.
Как мы можем продолжать?
Actually, yeah. Just... So today, devotees, subordinate, today we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 26, Fundamental Principles of Material Nature, Verse 5. Gunar Vichitra Srijatim Sa Rupa Prakritim Praja Vilokya Mumuhe Sadya Sa Iha Jnana Guhaya Gunar Vichitra Srijatim Sarupa Prakritim Praja Vilokya Mumuhe Sadya Saiha Jnana Guhaya Gunar Vichitra Srijatim Sarupa Prakritim Praja Vilokya Mumuhe Sadya Saiha Jnana Guhaya Gunar Vichitra Srijatim Sarupa Prakritim Praja Vilokya Mumuhe Sadya Saiha Jnana Guhaya. Muttajis.
Muttajis.
deny by the threefold modes vichitra variegated srijatim creating sarupa with forms prakritim material nature praja living entities vilokya having seen mumohe was illusioned sadhya at once sa the living entity iha in this world jnana guhaya by the knowledge covering feature. Translation. Divided into varieties by her threefold modes, material nature creates the forms of the living entities, and the living entities, seeing this, are illusioned by the knowledge covering feature of the illusory energy. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Material energy has the power to cover knowledge, but this covering cannot be applied to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is applicable only to the praja, or those who are born with material bodies, the conditioned souls. The different kinds of living entities vary according to the modes of material nature, as explained in Bhagavad Gita and other Vedic literature. In Bhagavad Gita chapter 7 verse 12, it is very nicely explained that although the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance are born of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is not subject to them. In other words, the energy emanating from the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot act on him. It acts on the conditioned souls who are covered by the material energy. The Lord is the Father of all living entities because he impregnates material energy with the conditioned souls. Therefore, the conditioned souls get bodies created by the material energy, whereas the Father of the living entities is aloof from the three modes. It is stated in the previous verse that the material energy was accepted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in order that he might exhibit pastimes for the living entities who wanted to enjoy and lord it over the material energy. This world was created through the material energy of the Lord for the so-called enjoyment of such living entities. Why this material world was created for the sufferings of the conditioned souls is a very intricate question. There is a hint in the previous verse in the word lilaya, which means for the pastimes of the Lord. The Lord wants to rectify the enjoying temperament of the conditioned souls. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita that no one is the enjoyer but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This material energy is created, therefore, for anyone who pretends to enjoy. An example can be cited here that there is no necessity for the government's creation of a separate police department, but because it's a fact that some of the citizens will not accept the state laws, a department to deal with criminals is necessary. there is no necessity, but at the same time, there is a necessity. Similarly, there was no necessity to create this material world for the sufferings of the conditioned souls, but at the same time, there are certain living entities known as Nitya Badha who are eternally conditioned. We say that they have been conditioned from time immemorial because no one can trace out when the living entity, the part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, became rebellious against the supremacy of the Lord. It is a fact that there are two classes of men, those who are obedient to the laws of the Supreme Lord and those who are atheists or agnostics who do not accept the existence of God and who want to create their own laws. They want to establish that everyone can create his own laws or his own religious path. Without tracing out the beginning of the existence of these two classes, we take it for granted that some of the living entities revolted against the laws of the Lord. Such entities are called conditioned souls, for they're conditioned by the three modes of material nature. Therefore, the words gunaya vichitra are used here. In this material world, there are 8,400,000 species of life. As spirit souls, they're all transcendental to this material world. Why then do they exhibit themselves in different stages of life? The answer is given here. They're under the spell of the three modes of material nature. Because they were created by the material energy, their bodies are made of the material elements. Covered by the material body, the spiritual identity is lost, and therefore the word mumuhe is used here, indicating that they've forgotten their own spiritual identity. This forgetfulness of spiritual identity is present in the jivas, or souls, who are conditioned, being subject to be covered by the energy of material nature. Jnana guhaya is another word used. Guha means covering. Because the knowledge of the minute conditioned souls is covered, they are exhibited in so many species of life. It is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam 7th chapter, 1st canto, the living entities are illusioned by the material energy. In the Vedas also it is stated that the eternal living entities are covered by different modes and that they are called tree-colored, red, white, and blue living entities. Red is the representation of the mode of passion. White is the representation of the mode of goodness, and blue is the representation of the mode of ignorance. These modes of material nature belong to the material energy, and therefore the living entities under these different modes of material nature have different kinds of material bodies. Because they're forgetful of their spiritual identities, they think the material bodies to be themselves. To the conditioned soul, me means the material body. This is called moha, or bewilderment. It is repeatedly said in the Katha Upanishad that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is never affected by the influence of material nature. It is rather the conditioned souls, or the minute infinitesimal parts and parcels of the Supreme, who are affected by the influence of material nature and who appear in different bodies under the material modes. Let us read the verse again. Gunaya vichitra srijatim sarupa prakritim praja vilokya mumuhe sadya sa iha jnana guhaya. divided into varieties by her threefold modes. Material nature creates the forms of the living entities, and the living entities, seeing this, are illusioned by the knowledge-covering feature of the illusory energy. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Niravishesha Shunyavadi Paschachade Shatarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakalpatrubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha, paditanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So now Lord Kapila is really getting into some of the intricacies of the situation here in this material world. Generally, when we speak of Sankhya, which is generally said to be the specialty, you could say, of Lord Kapila, then this sort of thing is more what we expect. This is more like directly Sankhya. Sankhya meaning to analyze, or even in the most, perhaps in the most literal sense, to count up all the different features in the material world, and ultimately beyond the material world also. Yes, so Lord Kapila now is starting to get into this. Sri Sri Radha Radhanath Sri Giri Govardhan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. And it's deep. It's very philosophical. It's very philosophical. But of course it's also very interesting. It's very revealing of the situation here within this material world. That, as the verse says, because of the three modes, because of the actions of the three modes, then the same living entities are periodically, from time to time, for some time, and then something different, they are divided into varieties by the threefold modes of material nature. Divided into varieties. At least one way of looking at it to some degree is if one goes to, like, well, in this country, South Africa, the Rand Easter Show or some sort of public festival, very public festival, like a trade fair sort of thing. Where they have like circus and entertainment types of things also, then oftentimes in these places they have the room full of mirrors, and you go there and it's just you have mirrors which are shaped in different ways, and therefore the mirror images of you, of everyone who goes in there, they are distorted in terms of the shape of the mirrors. So one mirror makes you thin and tall, another one makes you short and fat, and there's so many variations. Generally, at least they'll have 10 or 12 variations or something. And the same you, at least in material terms, the same you, the same material body, will appear in different ways. So similarly in material life, due to the conditioning effects of the three modes of material nature, which condition in very different ways, extremely different ways, then the same living entities are divided into varieties. This is how Prabhupada puts it in the verse, divided into varieties. So someone is, for the time being, they have the body, a body in the mode of goodness, like the body of a Brahmin. And it's a peaceful body. It's a self-controlled type of body. Generally, it's a happy body. Yeah, you could say like this. These are at least typical symptoms of the mode of goodness. But then, somehow or other, if that particular spirit soul, if that particular living entity somehow conducts himself or herself in some other very different ways, which happens sometimes, someone is born in a Brahmin family, a family which is actually Brahminical, actually mode of goodness, but somehow or other, due to the influence of association, desire, and the confusing effects of this material world, in the next life, or maybe even in the same life, the person becomes very different. Now, of course, we have the examples of Jagai and Madai, famous examples, born apparently in fairly nice Brahmin families, but they became under the influence of the modes of passion and ignorance very severely. And so their lives, at least their lives, looked extremely different from the lives of regular qualified Brahmins. Same situation as there with Ajamil. He was also born in a mode of goodness, pious Brahminical family. That's mentioned at least in the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam. But then, due to association, he, at least his character, became drastically transformed for the worse. And that's just here, we're just talking about in one lifetime. But then if we look at least in terms of examples which we're familiar with from the Bhagavatam, from Shastra, Bharat Maharaj was a Kshatriya, so that means there's a predominance at least of passion. But he was also a devotee, and he was a very good devotee. In fact, he had come to the level of bhava, and he was exhibiting different of the emotional symptoms of bhava. But then later, in the late part of his life, he got some bad association. He got the association of a deer. And he became very attached to the deer and very bewildered, as Lord Kapila says here in the verse, being illusioned by the knowledge-covering feature of the illusory energy. So he definitely became heavily influenced by that knowledge-covering feature of the illusory energy, and he forgot all about his Krishna consciousness, and he basically became deer conscious. This was the knowledge covering, the knowledge covering type of situation. And then, because Maya, the influence of Maya in this context is two. There are two particular features in this context. One is the person's knowledge becomes covered and they just become lost in some illusory dream world, which has nothing to do with one's spiritual nature, one's relationship with the Lord. But then after some time of having been covered, then the next aspect sort of kicks in, so to speak. That is the throwing aspect. That having become covered and lost, and forgotten about one's real position in Krishna consciousness, one just gets thrown down into some lower species in the case of Bharat Maharaj. In the case of Jagai and Madai, at least within that lifetime, we all know very well, they became drunkards and vicious criminals, violent demons, basically, because their knowledge became covered. They didn't know where they were. And then suddenly they were thrown into a certain situation which became acceptable to them due to the fact that their knowledge was covered. If someone's knowledge is not covered, even though there may be or there is influence to become degraded, the possibility is there. But if the knowledge is there nicely enough, then the throwing influence will not take place. There may be a battle to remain situated in sufficient Krishna consciousness. But if the knowledge is there sufficiently, then at least one can continue in Krishna consciousness. So, yes, so this is all being discussed here, actually at some length, as we saw, quite at some length. And Srila Prabhupada brings up a number of interesting points. Important points. Srila Prabhupada refers to the previous verse. In the previous verse, the word lilaya was there. For the pastimes, for the purpose of the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the material energy was there. The material world was created, lilaya, for the purposes, the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, of course, we understand that this does not mean that the Lord, who was situated in Goloka Vrindavan, and who was Lilaya also, who was enjoying many, many pastimes of most wonderful and amazing types, it doesn't mean that he decided to come down to Durban to lie in the sun on Battery Beach or something to that effect, to go on holiday to Mauritius and Lilaya have some pastimes. No. What to speak of the Supreme Personality of Godhead not wanting to enjoy pastimes in that sense here? Even it is said, that even the demigods will not come here. They will not come here. What to speak of Lilaya, but even for just some, you know, other things which we won't mention, but they're really not nice. And what to speak of the Lord coming here? People in South Africa are thinking, oh, we must go to Mauritius because we'll enjoy. And some people, at least in Mauritius, are thinking, we must come to South Africa to enjoy, because who wants to be on the island? The material world is like that. But none of it, particularly on this level, none of it is very exciting. So what is this Lilaya that was mentioned in the previous verse, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead created this material world through the material energy, Lilaya, for pastimes? What it means is, for the pastime, the purpose, the activity of correcting the conditioned souls. That's us. That is us, whether we like it or not. We have been, and we still are, in dire need of being corrected. More corrected and more corrected until we come to the point of actual pure devotional service and freedom from other things. Yes, so that is the idea of Lilaya, as mentioned in the previous verse, and as Prabhupada mentions here in this purport also. The Lord wants to rectify the enjoying temperament of the conditioned soul. He wants to rectify our enjoying temperament. And Prabhupada mentions that we're eternally conditioned, and therefore to rectify us, there's the famous saying, old habits die hard. So to rectify a person from a deeply rooted habit, which the person has been very convinced about the value supposedly of, to rectify a person who's been in that situation and that consciousness and that whole way of life for many lifetimes, even so many that you cannot actually say, to rectify them, that's not a small job. However, Krishna consciousness is so powerful, Krishna consciousness is so wonderful, that as Lord Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, and as Prabhupada said many times, if a devotee is sincere and really does their utmost to practice and follow the process of Krishna consciousness, then even in one lifetime, that rectification can happen to the conclusive point of going back to Godhead. Of course, it's very interesting how Prabhupada expresses this idea of eternally conditioned. Just very briefly, he says that there are certain living entities known as Nitya Buddha who are eternally conditioned. We say that they have been conditioned from time immemorial because no one can trace out when the living entity, the part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, became rebellious against the supremacy of the Lord. It's just such a long time. You cannot say. It's too long that the mind cannot extend that far. Plus, there's another consideration which Prabhupada mentions elsewhere, which is that the material world is destroyed from time to time and then recreated. And in those times between the destruction and the recreation, time as we know it, material time, stops. And it's just not there. It's not functioning. It's a little difficult to conceive of, but Prabhupada notes this, and in Brahma Samhita this point is made very clearly, that when the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mahavishnu, begins the process of the next creation, that he glances over the pradhan, the unmanifest, inert material energy, and in the glance, he injects different things. He injects us. He injects us into the womb of material nature. He injects his Icha Shakti, the potency of his desire to reform the conditioned souls, but he also injects the Kala Shakti. This is what Lord Brahma says. The Lord injects the Kala Shakti back into the material world where it has not been, can we say, for a long time. But, you know, however you want to put it, it wasn't there. It wasn't there. That's time as we know it. And time as we only know it. The experience we have of time in our lives. So like that also, it's not possible to calculate in terms of time, as time, the idea of time, has meaning to us. It goes beyond our capabilities. Yes, and this is another reason why the term Nitya Buddha, eternally conditioned, is used for us, and Prabhupada says it means just no one can trace out, because it is, so to speak, it's just by definition not possible to trace it out. Yes, so these things are discussed here, and some other things. Let me just mention one last thing. It's, Prabhupada puts it very nicely, that there is no necessity in South Africa, for example, in a certain sense of the idea of necessity. There's no necessity to have a police department and to have a prisons department, these types of things. There's no necessity, because they're very expensive. there'd be so much more money available for doing, you know, whatever with, if we didn't have to have the police service and the prison service. But the problem is that some of the citizens are not prepared to follow the laws. And some of them are really not prepared, and they're very abusive and like that. And therefore, there's a necessity. But otherwise, if everyone did what they should do, engage in devotional service, if everyone simply did what they should do, there'd be no necessity. And by the same standard, there'd be no necessity of the material world. It's only because they're rebellious, conditioned souls that the material world becomes a necessity. Otherwise, let us just serve Krishna and enjoy life in the service of the Lord eternally. So these are some points here from this verse and purport, as Lord Kapila really enters into a more analytical phase of his presentation. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.